Podcast. I am your host, the Chan Man, Chris Chandler. Once again, joined as always by the natural Scott Gibson.
What's up?
What's going on, brother? Another day.
It's another cold day.
Another cold day. It was snowing here this morning.
Dude, it snowed all freaking day.
It's getting ridiculous.
It's March.
It's March, and that's March Madness is going on. We got some madness going on here in ASW Wrestling today. We're going to be joined by Rob Conway, the current ASW Heavyweight Championship, and Brian Pillman the second. Right now, we are joined by the Iron Man, Rob Conway, the current ASW Heavyweight Champion. How's it going, brother?
It's doing great. Going great.
This Saturday, you come back to Madison, West Virginia to defend your ASW title. You excited?
Absolutely. It's the first time I'll be coming in as a champion. You know, I've had championship matches in the past, but that's the first time that I got the job done in that battle royal. So the idea of having a prestigious championship like that just means that I just get to keep coming back to Madison, and Madison's been real good to me.
I'll say, I know you've been working with Gary Dammer for a good while now. You got a good relationship with Gary and ASW. You like coming down here?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a lifelong wrestling fan and enjoy the history of wrestling, and Madison right there at the Civic Center is a legendary building for professional wrestling, and just him carrying the tradition of having wrestling in West Virginia and, you know, carrying along the names that have wrestled in that building, whether it be Macho Man Randy Savage and Ric Flair and you name it, they've come through Madison. And Gary's just, I mean, the way that he promotes the events and runs his events is, you know, it's kind of a throwback, because he's a real trustworthy guy, and the fans can count on when he advertises somebody that they're going to be there.
So, Rob, you know, a lot of people remember you in the WWE as in Law Resistance, as a former WWE tag champion. A lot of these people, you know, like to know what you're doing nowadays. I know you're out working the independent scenes. You've also a former NWA champion, two-time NWA champion, yes. Do you still have a good relationship with the NWA now with the whole Billy Corgan purchasing NWA?
Yeah, I have a real good relationship with those guys. I talked to them prior to them buying the brand. But the thing about what they're doing now is that they're rebranding it, you know, and starting with the championship. So the championship is traveling around, and they're, you know, it's being defended and sometimes won and lost at different promotions. But they don't have their own shows right now. They have gone away from the traditional territory or into having affiliates. So, it, you know, we kind of looked at it like Harley Davidson. At one time, it was the greatest, you know, motorcycle company in the American company, and then it had a down period, and then it rebranded itself. And now if you want a motorcycle, that's what you want. And that's kind of what the NWA is trying to do, is to take a great brand that is known, you know, for years of being the top brand of wrestling. And it's going to have to, you know, start with that 10 pounds of gold and build its way back up again.
Right. Do you see yourself, trying to go back for the NWA title?
Well, I'm up for going for any type of titles. I mean, if you're wrestling for any type of company, you know, that is the idea, is to be the top person. So, I mean, your next match is your biggest match, you know, and it's better to be a current something than a former anything. So I'm looking forward to wrestling for a lot of companies, but the NWA is one with a lot of prestige, and it was really, really good to me, because when they had, you know, 40 affiliates, that kept me busy wrestling all over the country. And then I was also allowed me to participate in going to Japan for 11 trips and to Taiwan. So it was a great experience for me, and that's definitely something that I would look forward to if I got another opportunity.
How was it working for New Japan down there in the NWA?
I loved it. I mean, I just enjoy good wrestling, and that's what they have there. And I say that because I consider there to be, you know, two types of companies and there's sports entertainment and there's professional wrestling, and they're a little bit different. Professional wrestling is what I grew up watching, and it's more based on what goes on in the ring, the athleticism, whereas sports entertainment, great athletes, great in the ring, but it's also more of an emphasis on characters that's and things backstage that's filmed. And the companies that do that do a great job of it. But I grew up watching professional wrestling, and that is what New Japan, that's what ASW, you know, it's based on what you're doing in the ring. And if you're going to do any talking, you do it on the microphone before or after your match.
Right. So, and you've probably had thousands upon thousands of matches. Are there any that ever like stood out to you? Like, this was my favorite?
Well, not when I look back on it, there's no one match I think, man, that was my favorite, but there was favorites at the time because they're milestones. For me,
right,
early in my career, you know, obviously you have your first match, and then about a year or two into it, I grew up here in close to Louisville, Kentucky. So I grew up going to the Louisville Gardens on Tuesday nights and watching Jerry the King Lawler and Bill Dundee and Austin Idol and the Rock and Roll Express. And after I'd been wrestling for about 2 years, I was in the main event at the Louisville Gardens against Jerry Lawler. And that was a moment for me at the time. Like, I couldn't believe, you know, that that was happening, because it's, you know, wrestling someone you looked up to, and then going to the WWE, and then being in your first WrestleMania. I mean, those are milestones that everybody who gets into wrestling wants to do that stuff, and you have goals to do it, but there's a big difference in having a goal and actually having it come true, and like realizing, wow, I'm in WrestleMania. I'm got an action figure. I'm wrestling Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair. Those are things that, you know, really stand out. Getting an opportunity to be in the ring with, there was a time at a homecoming where we switched from Spike TV to USA Network, and I came out and was in the ring with just about every legendary wrestler from the last 30 years and went toe-to-toe with Dusty Rhodes on the microphone. And those are things that you look back on, and at the time that was the biggest thing that happened to me until, you know, and until I won the NWA World Championship, and then I wrestled Jushin Liger at, you know, in Japan, and then getting to wrestle at the Tokyo Dome in front of 40,000 people. So there's a lot of milestones that you look back on, but no one particular match that I really key in on.
You talk about talking, and you said a lot, you know, a lot of people like to talk. Rocky Rage has had a few things that said about you becoming the ASW champion. What's your thoughts on this kid? And I mean, he was a fan favorite. Now he turned on everybody down in Madison, and it's just, he's got a different cocky attitude, brother.
Yeah. I mean, I've been wrestling now for 20 years, and I feel like I see Rocky Rage, and I see him as a guy. I can see a lot of myself in him, because when I first came to ASW, I teamed with him, and I was amazed at how much the audience and the supporters there got behind him. I mean, they loved him, and we teamed up, and it was amazing. And then to see over the past few years how, I mean, they continued to support him, and that, I don't know, you know, whether it was something outside of, you know, the company or what changed his attitude, to where sometimes in your career, maybe you think you're better than you are, or you feel like you should got an opportunity you didn't get, and you act out, and you kind of, I mean, it happens in anything where you kind of turn and don't appreciate the people who got you where you are. And that's what I'm seeing out of him now, is like this streak of arrogance, this like he's owed something, when I mean, the people have always been behind him there. So when I came there the last time and saw the change in his attitude, you know, it was disappointing, you know. And then to see the guys he's hanging around with, and I know that the people there, they, deep down, I think they still care about him, and they still want him to see, you know, I mean, they've made him to where he's a top wrestler in that company. But he, I mean, I don't know if people go through that in their career, and they go through it in their life where, you know, they just think somebody owes them something, or they think they're a little bit too big for their britches, so to speak. And I think that's where he's at right now. And I hope he comes out of it and appreciates what he has there, because that's a great company to work for. And I think he kind of takes it for granted sometimes that he's kind of turned his back on the people that got him, you know, pretty much put him on the map.
This Saturday, you go one-on-one with a gentleman named Eric Darkstorm. Have you ever heard of this kid? Have you saw any of his matches? Have you ever been in the ring with him?
I've never been in the ring with him. Definitely heard his name a lot. And then I had an opportunity to do commentary at an event, and he was on it, and he had a standout match and had some real creative offense, some things I hadn't seen before. And that was been about 3 years ago. And so, I mean, I've heard his name more and more since then. So I know he's just gotten better. So I haven't studied him yet, because I find that I try to do most of that the day or two before I wrestle somebody, because if I too much of them too soon, it's almost like you can psych yourself out thinking that you can know too much, to the point where you start questioning your own ability. Like, maybe this guy's, you know, you build him up in your head, like, man, this guy's really good. Like, you know, but he puts his pants on the same way as I do. And I've been doing this a long time too. So it's a good feeling to be the champion and have people coming after you. And that way you're not having to challenge people. They're all calling you out. I'm not calling out anybody, because I already have what people want.
Right. And you have had, like I said, thousands of matches. You've wrestled all over the world. You've wrestled legends. You've been in WrestleMania. Do you have any advice for some of the younger guys that are just starting out, or even been there 10 years and haven't even had the success that you had so early in your career?
I mean, the advice is that to get out and wrestle. I mean, a lot of people I know tell me how much they dedicate all their time to wrestling, but they don't work out, or they don't work out as much as they should. They're not going to events. You know, if they're not trying to get on as many events as they can. You know, I think a lot of people now want to talk about how much they want something and not go out and bust their butt and try to get it. And it's not a slight on anybody. There's some sacrifices that have to be made to be successful at anything. I mean, there's long drives. There's sleeping in your car on occasion. There's, you know, having to go to events that you're not on to try to meet the people in charge in order for them to get to know you and then give you an opportunity. But, you know, this, whether it's wrestling or any other profession, I mean, you're not going to get something if you don't ask for it. And you have to show some commitment and some desire. And ultimately, someone who has a position to help you has to know that you want it. So they're not just right. going to find you sitting at home and call you up and get a hold of you. And because there's so many guys out there that want it and want to be on these events. I mean, I'm sure Gary gets thousands of people every year trying to get on the events, but, you know, there's only so many spots, so you have to really be persistent and you can't just get told no once or twice and that be the end of it. You got to keep knocking on the door.
Right.
So, and you know, when you were in the WWE, do you recall your first ever meeting with Vince McMahon? How did that go? I mean, I've heard a lot of people were terrified, but then when they first met Vince, he was just chill and laid back.
Well, I mean, I did a lot of extra work before I actually was under contract. So you kind of meet him in passing, because at most events, you shake everybody's hand that's a part of the event before it starts. So there's no one instance where it's like, oh, that's the first time I met Vince McMahon, because it was a handshake in passing. But then once I started working there and got to be around him on a regular basis, he's a lot like what you see on television. He's not as over the top wise, but he's a big person. You know, he's 6'2" or 3", 250 pounds. He carries himself the way that you see him on TV with his shoulders back and his chest up, and he's the boss. So ultimately, if you work for that company, he can pretty much decide your fate. You know, if he doesn't like you or does like you or wants to invest in your character. So it's kind of an intimidating presence, knowing that if you want to work there and you want to work there for a long time, ultimately he has to see something in you. So it's kind of intimidating. But then once you're around him on a regular basis, you find out that the reason that he's had the success that he has is because of hard work and dedication. I mean, most people with the amount of money that he's made over the years at his age and his stature wouldn't be traveling around the world still participating and being in charge of the company. So he loves it more than anybody else does, or he wouldn't have dedicated his entire life to it. So a lot of respect for him and what he's built. And even when you're not wrestling there anymore, there's only so many spots. And if guys don't let go, then new talent doesn't get to be on TV. So you, instead of ever being upset that you're not there anymore, you should just be thankful for the time that you got to be there.
So who came up with the Just Look At Me gimmick, man? I absolutely loved that gimmick when you were the WWE, dude. That was, I loved the theme song and everything.
Well, I knew they were going to split me and Sylvain up because they had big plans for Muhammad Hussein. And they wanted people in our matches, people would chant USA the whole time. And then when he would come out, he wouldn't get as much a response as they wanted him to. So they were going to split us up. And at one point they said, hey, you know, be thinking of something for yourself, because when you're not a French sympathizer anymore, you got to do something. So the idea that I came up with was my OVW character, where I started, was the Iron Man Rob Conway. That was the character that I wanted to do in the WWE. But I knew they weren't going to trademark Iron Man because it's pretty hard to get.
Yeah.
So the Con Man was a nickname that people had just called me because my last name's Conway. So I wanted to be the Iron Man character, but with the Con Man name, so I could talk about myself in third person, and that way it's not, you know, around town, you know, it's like Rob Conway didn't actually do that stuff because that's my real name. You know, it's like, oh, that was the Con Man. Like, they're two different guys. But the character that I had was more like a Rick Rude style, which I had done in OVW under the tutelage of Jim Cornette and Danny Davis. And then, so when I gave them that idea, they seemed to like it. But then once I actually got on television, and the music and stuff was a little different than what I had. I come out to Iron Man, it's more of a serious character. And then when I got there, the very first time I heard the Just Look At Me song was when I came out to it. So I was getting ready to walk out and this music played, and Kerwin White was in the match before me. And I thought that it was his music playing after his match. Like, you know, like he was walking back and they were playing his music after his match. And I'm standing there and they're like, hey, that's your music, go. And I was like, what? The music didn't fit what we had, I thought, come up with for a character. So I was like walking the ring, listening to that song. And I, even though it's a catchy song for entrance music, it's not exactly electrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not exactly time to play the game. You know, there's certain songs when it hits that, you know, even if you're not a fan favorite, people pop for the song and go, man, this guy seems like he's coming out to kick some butt. You know, my music was like, oh, man, this guy seems like he's going to come out to play some piano and, you know, have a drink.
Hey, yeah, you didn't get the Motorhead theme song, did you? Me and you spoke you know, we're going to talk about a little bit of football. Me and you spoke the last show. You told me you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and which I thought was pretty cool. What do you think about them tagging Le'Veon Bell again?
Well, you knew it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I think he wants to be the highest paid running back like of all time. He's got it in his head, but
yeah.
I've never known the Steelers to pay anybody that kind of money. You know, it's a working class town. I think if you pay him that much, the fans might actually kind of turn on him.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you one bit. And I still think he has to prove that.
I mean, I see running backs have such a physical, short, you know, potential career that when it comes to athletes, I want them all to get as much money as they can because the league makes tons of money. So it's not really – with the salary cap and stuff, you know, it's all going to be the same in the end what the team makes. But when you pay any one player too much money, it seems to make the team, you know, worse.
No, yeah. These quarterbacks, what they're getting nowadays is outrageous too. So.
I mean, that killed the Baltimore Ravens when they had to pay Joe Flacco all that money. They haven't really been good since.
Nope. Yeah, me and Ellsworth talked about that last week. He didn't like that too well. Well, man, I appreciate it for coming on. We'll see you this Saturday in Madison, West Virginia. Do you have anything to plug?
Man, I'm just plugging being there in Madison, West Virginia. You know, like I said, your biggest match is your next match, and I can't wait to be my first title defense, and I'm looking forward to be back in Madison because the last time, you know, we had a great event, but it wasn't in Madison, so back at the Civic Center.
Yes, sir. All right, man, we'll see you this Saturday. It'll be Rob Conway versus Eric Darkstorm at ASW March Mania at the Madison Civic Center. Tickets are available now at Mike's Tires for $13. Get them now. All right, brother, see you this Saturday.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. He had a catchy theme song.
Just look at me.
I mean, I know you liked it. I know you liked it. Wasn't it one of your ringtones at one time?
It was one of my ringtones.
It was one of
your ringtones. I just wanted to feel pretty.
Well, you just wanted people to look at you.
Yeah, I did. What was wrong with that?
Hey, I remember one time I had some catchy love song on country. I borrowed a phone from somebody. And, you know me, I don't listen to country music, so I couldn't tell you what the song was. But it played off, and it was some love song. And you know who was calling me? You. I had to answer that in Walmart with people looking at me, because this thing is loud. It was like one of those old Blackberries, and it's this freaking love song. And I'm like, hey, buddy. That place went, I mean, you could hear crickets.
The awkwardness.
It was great, though.
Well, we will be joined here very soon by Brian Pillman II. It was a good little interview.
Yeah, that's the Iron Man.
The Iron Man, Rob Conway.
I met him a few years ago, but I couldn't tell you what show it was. But he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's dumb.
Yeah, you can definitely tell when you're talking to him.
Well,
unfortunately, he's got the Steelers curse like you.
Steelers curse. Come on. Well, all right, guys. We're going to take a commercial break here, but we'll be right back here on the Wrestling Rage Podcast.
All-Star Wrestling returns to the Madison Civic Center with March Mania, Saturday, March 10th. Scheduled to appear, former WWE superstar Rob Conway, Road Warrior Animal, and Al Snow. Tickets start at only $13 and are available at Mike's Tire Shop in Madison or at the door. Doors open at 6 p.m.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? The Chair Shot.
All-Star Wrestling returns to the Madison Civic Center with March Mania, Saturday, March 10th. Scheduled to appear, former WWE superstars Rob Conway, Road Warrior Animal, and Al Snow. Tickets start at only $13 and are available at Mike's Tire Shop in Madison or at the door. Doors open at 6 p.m., bell time 7. Advanced ticket holders can get in at 5:30. Make sure to find us on Facebook at All Star Wrestling WV. Don't miss All Star Wrestling's March Mania, presented by Stephen P. New Law.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
back here on the Wrestling Rage Podcast, and yes,
yeah,
Big Al is.
The way Jonathan said it, I was like, really? I never knew.
Oh, Lord, man.
I also don't judge. I was like, I also don't judge people, though, so.
Hey, you can be like Ricky Morton. You know, Big Al, you know, owner of 605, he really doesn't care, but you can be like Ricky Morton one day, ask him, you know, this is a story that I've told it a million times. Ricky Morton asked him a few times. He said, hey, brother, is that your girlfriend? And he said, no, man. He said, is that your wife, buddy? No, it's not my wife. Queer? Listen here, you're my friend. That's cool if you are. You're my friend. You know, you hear what I'm saying?
You can always tell like, when people don't know how to react to people.
That would be Ricky Morton. God love Ricky.
Oh, you caught me being a homophobe.
Well,
it's not appropriate to make a homophobic joke anymore. Wait, that is the joke. You're
home. Well, let's support our partners, Chad Man Designs. If you're a wrestling promoter looking for any graphic design works done, contact me at chadmandesigns.com at chadmandesigns@gmail.com.
I guess you can just spot me on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, but I like sports, man, so what should we be doing on Sunday?
You know what we should be doing?
We should be doing Sunday mornings. You know? We should be going to church.
But if you can't go to church, go ahead and listen to our good buddies over at Sunday Morning Smack Talk Podcast. You can find them on Podomatic, iTunes, and just about anywhere you can find podcasts. Just give them a listen. Give them a shout on Facebook. Three good guys that just love sports like everybody else.
And don't forget, Chair Shot Radio Network, which, of course, you know, you've already heard the commercial. But I'll let you all know, Chairshot Radio Network is your home of the hottest hitting podcast radio shows. All shows are on demand. You can listen through them through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play. Just look up Chairshot Radio Network. So
it's actually a nice website too.
Yeah, Chairshot.com. We're on Chairshot right now, man. I mean, it's a beautiful website right here. Yeah. You got Now Hiring, TV, pay-per-view, opinions, Chairshot Radio Network, wrestling news, top five list. I mean, videos and more.
A lot more wrestling than you want.
Yeah, it's always use your head at the Chairshot.com. That's what their slogan is on the website when you go on there. Always use your head. There you go.
No problem.
And speaking of the news, I mean, we have, let's see here. We got several. Yeah, here, so you got,
talk Fastlane.
Yeah,
I will be.
Yes, you will be at
Fastlane. It's my first.
I had somebody, Scott's going to be doing some live video too down there for you guys.
If we have any listeners or any friends in the Columbus area, come say hi. I don't know what section I'm in, but I could post it if you guys want to know, but I really don't know. I know they're pretty decent seats.
I was going to say, you showed me where the seats were. They look pretty decent.
I was at that arena back in 2006, Bad Luck.
We'll go over Fastlane when we get done talking to Brian.
I was the $60 seats up there on the ring where you are.
But today, it was reported by PW Insider that WWE
against the bar,
Woken Matt Hardy, brother Nero,
and brother.
Okay.
Sorry. I thought they were the Woken Hardy.
Well, we'll talk about that here in a second. But right now, we are joined by Brian Pillman II. How's it going, brother?
How's it going, everybody?
Hanging in there, brother. This Saturday, you'll be in Madison, West Virginia for All-Star Wrestling. Are you excited about coming to the Mountain State?
I'm very excited. I've got two dates in West Virginia. I can't wait to kind of explore the state. I don't think I've ever been through there, so it'll be a first-time experience for me. We're going to get a room on the 9th, and then on the 10th, I'm going down to ASW, and I'm really looking forward to it, at least the roster looks very stacked, so I'm really glad to be a part of that.
You were trained by Lance Storm, and so tell us how that went down.
Well, Lance Storm was definitely the best professional wrestling trainer on the continent today, I think. I think that still stands. But, yeah, very, very, very fundamental base, very psychology based. A lot of our training was listening and just kind of listening to his lectures about how to put a match together properly and just how to be out there and be a great wrestler on the mat as well as on the fly and everything. So it was just really cool to experience the mind of someone like that and someone that was so willing to impart his wisdom with us. You know, some guys like to keep their secrets about themselves, but he was just so willing to tell us everything we needed to know. And it was really a blessing to be able to go up there and learn from him.
So other than your dad, obviously, who was some of your biggest influences in getting into wrestling?
I really like guys like Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes, you know, guys that kind of followed their father's footsteps and stuff. And I think that's really cool and honorable of them to have done that. And I just kind of feel like, doing the same. So that's why I like to watch them wrestle. I like their style. You know, they got a young look to them. You know what I mean? You know, so kind of the same thing I got going on with me. And I really enjoy watching Kenny Omega wrestle as well. He's very phenomenal performer. So the bar is just set so high in today's world. And it's just a cool ladder to be able to climb. That's to say I'm climbing that right now. So
how long have you been wrestling for?
So I had my first match on December 18th, yeah, and then my second one on December 30th, and I've had about, 25 plus since then, so I've had a lot of matches since then, been just grinding them out,
Been keeping yourself busy, that's great, bro.
Oh, yeah, oh, stay busy.
So
stay
this
busy, baby.
this guy you're facing Saturday down in Madison, West Virginia, his name's Bruce Graves. And
Bruce,
I've
heard,
man,
a lot about him.
Yeah, man, he comes out and he does the Hollywood Blondes movie thing like your dad did, with him and Steve. And it's like, so this Saturday, are you going to show him how a real Pillman does the, the Hollywood Blonde?
Oh yeah,
rolling?
Yeah. He has been coming for him. I've definitely seen his work and I've kind of studied his strategies and his moves that I need to be able to counter. And I think it's going to be pretty competitive bout. I think we're gonna be out there for a while. We're gonna be grinding each other down to the last wire. You know what I mean? We're both gonna be blown up out there, just going at it. So I can't wait to wrestle Bruce. I've seen him wrestle, live on numerous amount of occasions. So I think I've got him figured out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you got some projects coming up that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, so I've got my official first line of merchandise is coming out soon. The stock that I'll be bringing out to shows with me will arrive probably close to next week or the week after. And then once I get an idea of what people are buying, I'm going to start up my online store so everybody can get a T-shirt and everything that they can wear to the shows.
So was there anyone, family, friends, just anyone that ever tried to talk you out of getting into professional wrestling?
Not really. I mean, during training, Lance gave a speech to everybody. I was just like, hey, most of you guys aren't going to make it. You're going to get hurt trying to chase this dream. You know what I mean? It's not for everybody. The traveling sucks and everything. So other than that, nobody really talked me out of it, but I've been shown I've been expressed to at least the downside to chasing this career and to trying to perfect this craft and the toll that it can take on someone's body and on their mind as well, as they travel around and put their brain through some precarious positions and impacts. So I kind of know what to expect. But yeah, as far as my family, everybody was very excited for me to continue this journey.
Or begin it, rather. That goes into my follow-up question. Who's been the biggest supporter for you?
Oh, definitely my Aunt Linda and my sister Brittany, So I've been able to stay with her. I moved back home with her to kind of save up money so I could train with Lance and everything, and now I'm kind of back here just kind of saving up my independent wrestling money, just putting it all in a pile and seeing what I can do with it.
Right. I was going to say, I didn't want to interrupt Chandler, but I was going to say,
what would you be doing if you weren't professional wrestling? Like what would you be doing? Would you get in the football?
Okay, so, well, before I started wrestling, I actually worked for a company that developed software for car dealerships.
Right.
So that was my job outside of college. That's kind of what I was doing before. But, yeah, I did play football in high school. But in college, I actually ended up playing lacrosse. So I was kind of passionate about that sport.
I want to say that's a more physical sport because you're running the entire time.
But I think I definitely would just totally have ended up wrestling no matter what I did. You know what I'm saying? I think it's just at my core. It's what I need to be doing.
So I saw on Twitter that you had an exchange with Stone Cold about the little swimming pool that, you know. Tell us how that tweet came along, brother. That was funny as hell.
Yeah, so that, you know, that's been years in the making. You know, he's kind of taking his time on getting back to me on that one. You know, it's been 20 years. He finally apologized. So I don't know. I'm taking it with a grain of salt. You know, to me that, you know, that's something he should have been paying back long ago. But you know, I'm a guy of second chances. So I think I can give Steve Austin a second chance on this one. Maybe cut him some slack, give him the benefit of the doubt on this one. What do you think?
Maybe he needs to get you on his podcast so you guys can talk about it.
Yeah, maybe he needs to put me over on his podcast. You're absolutely right.
There you go.
That should be his payment. Yeah.
And send you a case of his beer to, you know, be like, oh, here, brother.
Yeah. Oh yeah. brother.
Her brother with that good old beer. Everybody likes the good Steve Weiser, so do you remember, you were very young when your dad was wrestling. Do you remember the relationships that he had with Steve and the Hart family and all that? Do you recall any of these?
No, I mean, I understand that that's what he had, but I don't remember, like, seeing them or anything. I met them in Calgary when I went up to Lance Storm School. Like, I met the Hart family and stuff. But I don't recall seeing them as a kid, you know.
Yeah.
I was just so young.
I know one thing.
You know,
your dad
I used to talk to Steve on occasion before I got into business, and he kind of helped me get started and stuff. So
he's a good dude,
you know.
I know one thing. Your dad had the hardest global WCW figure to find ever. When I was a kid, I had to chase that thing down everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Those little WCW figures that you would throw somebody and beat the shit out of them with it. You know,
I remember those.
You had
Man.
I think I had
cars from him. Well, brother.
Oh, yeah, the Z-Man on it? Hell yeah.
Yeah, I had
Z-Man. Oh, no, it's great.
Yeah. Well, yeah, man, I appreciate
you guys for having me.
Yeah, well, I'll see you this Saturday in, down in Madison, West Virginia for ASW March Mania. He'll face Bron Pillman. We'll go one-on-one with Bruce Graves. And first time ever. So come on out and check him out. But you got anything to plug before you get off, man?
Just follow me on Twitter at Flying Brian Jr. or on Instagram at Flying Brian 41.
All right, brother. Well, you have a good one, man. See you Saturday in Madison.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Good young man. Hopefully,
hopefully
look
he has
forward
a,
to see him this weekend.
Yeah, hopefully he has a long, long, luxurious career in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
I know he wants to carry on his dad's name.
I mean,
so
you got
a
good
really
bunch
awesome.
Of these guys that, you know, want to carry on their legacy of their father. You got Chris Benoit, his boy's out there wrestling now, trying to carry on the legacy of his dad. And he's even doing that movie for him, isn't he? His dad. So, you know. So, let's go over Fastlane. You're gonna be there.
I'm gonna be there.
He's gonna
so
be
does
there.
That mean I have to go over it.
You gotta go over it. So when you pick a match, you got wrong. We all got. You know, the Elimination Chamber, right?
We know Elimination.
The only one we didn't get right was, which, you know, we talked about there because the damn match was,
we
didn't expect. But,
I've heard some rumors of some big surprises going down fast.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping at least one of them comes to fruition.
Speaking of rumors,
yeah, let's
spoiler. We need a spoiler button. Spoiler.
Let me see if there's one here. Let's check the
soundboard. We got a spoiler here. NXT did their tapings yesterday.
Right.
Finally, EC3 debut.
Yeah.
They are going to unveil another
brand
title,
new
NXT
championship.
It's in what, the Northern
North America
heavyweight championship. It's going to be in a 6-man ladder match,
and it's actually a stacked
line. It is great stat line. You got EC3, you got Adam Page.
Adam Cole, baby.
There you go. Is that better for you?
Yeah, that was better.
The Velveteen Dream.
Ricochet.
Yeah, Ricochet.
Yeah.
I mean, who else? The two guys, the two big boys.
Killian Dane,
and
I can't think of the Lars Sullivan.
Yeah,
the other one.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
so.
Lars Sullivan. Yeah.
So that's gonna be a hell of a match, man. Who's your money? I mean, we got a while before we go to NXT.
Right.
We'll go over that before Mania weekend.
If I'm just picking like right with my
heart
right now, it's got to be EC3 just because of the way it was introduced, and then he came out. But I mean, can you imagine Ricochet?
Could you imagine Dixie Carter being at ringside for her nephew's
nephew's debut, quote unquote?
Which, by the way, we're not on Facebook Live today because I just didn't feel like doing Facebook Live because I feel like shit, which I'm here doing the pod.
I didn't even get
to
show off my new shirt.
Yeah, he's got the WWE stand for.
Walk with Elias.
That's right. He's got the Walk with Elias
World Tour T-shirt.
One of the top selling T-shirts on ShopWWE.com.
I may have bought four of them.
You may have. Did you buy four?
No, I didn't buy four of them.
Damn, son. No wonder the
top. It is a nice looking shirt.
It is. It is a nice looking shirt.
I went for a Team Little Big shirt.
I wear a 3X. You're mad down in that.
I remember what size you were.
You're in Columbus this weekend. We'll wear them at the beach.
Yeah. But yeah, Fastlane should. If any of these rumors come true, and there's one that I heard about that I've actually been predicting for a while because WWE is trying to be sneaky.
You think it's gonna happen? I don't think it's gonna happen.
No, not The Undertaker.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm talking WWE's trying to be sneaky. They never announce Asuka versus Alexa Bliss. They make you think that it's Asuka versus Alexa Bliss. She's never said.
You're right. And
it never said who she
and
was
yes,
going after.
You are correct. And it still says on their website to be returned.
Yeah.
Yeah. TV.
Yeah, they're trying to be sneaky. Nobody mentions it.
And,
none of the commentators
and
mention
you
it.
Know, now she's picking. And Alexa Bliss is picking on Nia
Jax.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen is Asuka's going to pick
Charlotte.
And then Nia Jax face turn. But you can see that happen on Raw.
Yeah.
That was plain as day.
They've been booking her as a face for the last 6 months. But
Without the turn.
And that's the scary thing is, They do it with certain wrestlers. I mean, they did it with Batista after he did the thumbs down on Triple H for like 2 or 3 weeks, where he was still with
Evolution. I remember that. And I remember the night of the contract signing. I remember him catching Ric Flair and Triple H talking about.
Who was coming out to wrestle with after the thumbs down. We're heels, and you're like, okay, they're wanting to cheer. We're going to be cheered.
And they're playing it off beautifully because, like I said, no commentators even mentioned. They just make you think that Asuka's just going to pick Raw because she's on Raw.
Yeah.
But I'm saying she's going to SmackDown because, honestly, I think it'd be a better match, Asuka versus Charlotte.
Oh, there's a few matches here that it's going to be kind of difficult to pick. This pay-per-view has got a little bit of.
I don't know who's gonna win the Nakamura Rusev match. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's gonna be Nakamura going into the main event.
Nakamura Day is gonna ruin Rusev Day.
Nakamura Day. Did he not sound great? Did you watch SmackDown?
Yeah, he did.
Did that? Not, that was like, whoa.
I thought somebody did it for him, but
yeah, that was him. He's like, Nakamura Day. Pretty funny. Let's start from the bottom.
Yeah, we got a filler match. Obviously, the filler match. It's Becky Lynch and Naomi versus Natalya and Carmella.
I'm going with Becky and Naomi.
Yeah, me too. I don't. Otherwise, I don't know.
Street fire.
How about you? You going with the other one here? Are we going to have?
I can't. There's no way I can go.
So we're all in for.
All right, so we're all in for Becky and Naomi.
Okay, we got Shinsuke Nakamura versus Rusev. And Rusev is fighting for his friend.
Yeah, because he broke his trachea or something.
Yeah, he cannot sing.
That's right. So
I'm going with Nakamura, though.
Yeah, yeah. He's the number one contender for the WWE title.
Yeah, I'm just putting all of this on there.
I haven't really seen him on SmackDown other than Aiden English match and then
He's always been backstage telling AJ, "I hope you win because I'm going to beat you." And which, by the way, which I don't mind plugging podcasts on here because that's what we're all about. Plug. But if you listen to any podcast, listen to Lillian Garcia's podcast, Chasing Glory. She just had two parts with AJ Styles. She interviewed AJ right when he came into WWE after his match with Chris Jericho, and just interviewed him last week, and they put both those interviews together, and you know, from his time in the WWE, 2 years he's been there. Great interview. Listen to it. I mean, this is why he's this interview. You listen to the interview, you realize why he is. Trains, AJ Styles.
Yeah, that's
the face.
It's AJ.
Huh? Yeah,
he's the best worker. He's
yeah. I mean,
and literally nobody gets the pop he gets.
No, nobody.
Not even Russo.
Not even Russo.
I say Russo's easily number two.
So
which is crazy.
The next match here for the WWE United States Championship, the glorious Bobby Roode versus the Viper, Randy Orton. Randy Orton has never won the United States Championship.
And they're making it a big deal that he's going for the Grand Slam. But I already have a bet on this match, so I'm going to stick with my pick and go Bobby Roode.
I can choose one either way. This would set up Bobby actually having a deal.
Which I think he needs to do on SmackDown.
He's cool off a little bit, but and no matter what a lot of he is, face or heel, they're going to set
Same thing with talking along with that song.
So, you going with Bobby? Are you going with Randy? We're going to break it here.
I'm going to have to go Roode defending, even though I think they might.
All right. No, yeah.
Like you said, they might be leaning towards you in that Grand Slam, WWE Grand Slam.
I think it's going to be a triple threat for the United States Championship, just like the U.S. title.
Right.
Or the Intercontinental title. I figure it's going to be Bobby Roode going in as champion versus Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I figure that's going to happen.
It's two people get the Grand Slam. And all
Rest Charlotte, WWE SmackDown Women's Championship, Charlotte versus Ruby Riott. Scott, I already got your prediction because you just said
what you're going for.
I'm going with Charlotte, too.
I can't go get Charlotte on this one.
Honestly, I think this is going to be a clean sweep again. I don't think.
I worked with Ruby back when she was Hottie Loveless in the Indies.
I love Ruby Riott.
She's great.
I've never met her, but I've done a lot of posters with her.
I just love watching her TV. You got the talent.
The SmackDown Tag Team Championship, the Usos versus the New Day.
It's got to be Usos.
I figure this is going to be one of those ladder matches. Because, you know, WrestleMania has ladder matches.
Right.
We're all about the Tag Team ladder match last year.
So
I figure SmackDown this year, you're going to get Steph English in it. What? You're going to get the Bludgeon Brothers. You're going to get the Usos. You're going to get the New Day and probably Brie.
Benjamin.
Yeah, probably.
You
gotta have Benjamin doing some ladder stuff. So, I'm going New Day or the Usos.
Yeah, I'm going Usos too.
All right, we got all here again.
Clean sweep because I know we're all going AJ Styles.
We all going AJ Styles?
Unless John Cena's prediction.
John Cena said, you know, you could cash in that match and face me and triple threat.
Internet community would implode. Cena wins the title and makes it a triple threat match at WrestleMania because everybody wants that Wrestle Kingdom 11 rematch between
AJ said on Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia, he said, "I got the home field advantage this time. They're in America."
That's right.
Yeah. And they were both at.
They're not in Atlanta.
You know,
I get what you're saying.
Being in the U.S., you know, he was in Japan. So.
Double take was like, did I mess up?
No. They're not in Atlanta yet.
But it's good.
Yeah. it's going to be a lot of good matches.
It's going to be a good time.
Like, I'm pretty, I think the six pack count.
We're trying to stack Mania, and you know, this is.
Yeah, you don't want to stack fast lane. Like, I throw it like fast lane. So, I think six pack count is really
good. Yeah, it's going to be a good match, too.
Do you what happened to Max? Sammy Zayn turned Kevin?
Yes, speaking of that, so he wants to turn. We're talking about Dave Nelson, which Dave
was is okay. Let's say Owens gets a face turn because of what happened with Zayn. Owens represents Shane McMahon. Zayn represents Daniel Bryan. Winner gets control SmackDown. I mean, I don't know if that's how it's going to play out.
I guess we'll find out.
I guess yeah. So we'll find out Sunday where they're going.
We know Tank has. Good old Sonny. Seems like he still has a lot of legal issues going on. She was arrested once again. It's not always Sonny down there in New York right now where she's living. She's been arrested again. That's what I've heard. She's still in jail. She's still got some DUI stuff going on.
What, the super indie show that's going to be in Chicago? If you go look at the video that was shot by Rolling Stone,
yeah,
it was the way they talked about it. And I agree with you. This is one of those right one that
they pretty much caught by the head.
Yeah.
The Golden Lovers.
Road Warrior.
I think the burn is true. Schedule program.
This podcast is now derailed.
Seth Martin.
Jacob. His
Mortal Kombat tattoo. I'm not gonna lie. Seth Martin.
We need to pull up the old Facebook image. There's a image of him. Lynch from
what does OVER stand for? Because there's periods or something.
Here in
at W.
fine, or is this...
That would be a good, good 10 minutes of Eric wants his old thing or new. The thing he's using now is it's called Chip Off the Block, and it's the heavily edited censor version. So it. Hold on, I have to be paid for it.
War 40, if you guys will. Are you going to
obviously, I didn't have.
Two. It alone, that's
so, we'll leave it at that. So,
no, you're in the Columbus if you want to.
Print does an amazing job. For Craig's sake, on the pod, because we'll be doing some stuff at the pod. Because we might do a Krager State podcast, maybe have the recorder going, talking to some guys while we're all sitting back and drinking. So
I don't like that.
Just go drink with the rest of
like
you.
All right.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that next Thursday when we're on. We'll see how that goes. So.
All Star Wrestling returns to the Madison Civic Center with March Mania, Saturday, March 10th. Scheduled to appear, former WWE superstar Rob Conway, Road Warrior Animal, and Al Snow. Tickets start at only $13 and are available at Mike's Tire Shop in Madison or at the door. Doors open at 6 p.m., bell time 7. Advanced ticket holders can get in at 5:30. Make sure to find us on Facebook at All Star Wrestling WV. Don't miss All Star Wrestling's March Mania, presented by Stephen P. New Law.